Welcome to Oncology Data Advisor, where we explore the latest advances in cancer research and patient care. Thanks for listening to this episode. Be sure to visit oncdata.com for more content, including expert perspectives from leading oncology thought leaders, FDA approvals, patient advocacy, and much more. And don't forget to subscribe to Oncology Data Advisor on social media to stay up to date on the latest videos, podcasts, and more.
Hello, welcome to this episode of OncData Advisors Fellows Forum. Today, I'm humbled to be joined by Dr. Estela Rodriguez here at the University of Miami Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center, where she serves as the clinical research lead of the thoracic site disease group, as well as the associate director for DEI at the Cancer Center. Welcome, Dr. Rodriguez.
Thank you for the invitation.
So today's episode, we're going to be talking about a relatively rare type of lung cancer called mesothelioma. Let's go ahead and jump right on into it. Dr. Rodriguez, what is mesothelioma and why is it so difficult to treat?
So mesothelioma is a disease that starts in the lining of the lung. And it's not very common. We know it's mostly associated with asbestos exposure, and it can take many years before people present after the exposure. So it's a rare disease, so people don't have a lot of experience, but the usual way it presents is more either chest pain or pleural fluid. And it takes a long time sometimes for patients to present to their doctors with symptoms. There is also, because it's so rare, there's about 3,000 new cases diagnosed every year. Not every center will have experience diagnosing mesothelioma from cytology. So there are patients that have had pleural fluids drain and mesothelial cells have been identified, but they haven't been recognized as mesothelioma. There's pleural mesothelioma and there's also peritoneal mesothelioma. Most patients will present with pleural mesothelioma since it's an airborne kind of exposure, but we do have about 25% of patients that can have peritoneal mesothelioma.
But yeah, so it sounds like the rarity and the difficulty in diagnosing lead it to be such kind of a unique tumor. And like you said, a lot of folks will go to specialized centers for this treatment, which makes it interesting in some ways. And on that line, I was wondering, what is one therapy advance for mesothelioma that has made the biggest impact during your career in oncology?
So we know for a long time that these patients need to be managed in multi-specialty teams because surgery and radiation needs to be offered. But surgery and radiation only go so far. And I think the biggest advances that we have seen in the last 5 to 10 years has been the advent of immunotherapy that has really revolutionized the way we have treated many cancers, but also mesothelioma. So we have data in an FDA-approved combination of ipilimumab and nivolumab in the first-line setting for patients with metastatic pleural mesothelioma, and that is based on the CheckMate 743 trial, which is a large international trial that randomized patients to upfront platinum-based chemotherapy with pemetrexed 6 cycles or compared to patients that receive immunotherapy upfront. And what we learned from this was that immunotherapy worked, that we were able to see responses better than chemotherapy up front with a median overall survival improvement in the treatment arm with immunotherapy of 18 months versus 14 months for chemotherapy. But we also learned that it made a difference if patients had epithelial or sarcomatoid mesothelioma, so that the group that most benefited from immunotherapy up front was really the sarcomatoid group that we have known for forever that has been the most aggressive mesothelioma to treat. And these patients in the past either don't do well with surgery and they don't do well with chemotherapy. So immunotherapy is that one treatment that we never had before for patients with either mixed epithelial sarcomatoid or sarcomatoid alone. And I think, you know, in some way, when you look at the data from that trial, what the immunotherapy really did is really bring up the sarcomatoid group to the same level of the epithelial group. And for that reason, some experts still use chemotherapy in mesothelioma that is epithelial because we can get responses to chemotherapy. But for sarcomatoid today, you would favor immunotherapy up front.
Wow. So we'll just add this to the long laundry list of malignancies that benefit from the use of immunotherapy, mesothelioma for sure. Are there any research advances in mesothelioma you'd like to highlight?
So I think now that we open the door for immunotherapy to be an option, I think there's two major areas of potential discovery. One is going to be how to really harness the immune system to optimize responses on patients who have already responded to immunotherapy. So we have trials ongoing with CAR T therapy. And unfortunately, the initial trials for CAR T that are driven against mesothelin, which is expressed on mesothelioma, are leading to a lot of toxicity in the lung. So we have yet to find the right CAR T target, but I do think that all the research in that area is going to hopefully take us to a better salvage long-term immunotherapy option for patients. We have seen in the past, and there's still a lot of trials looking at vaccine trials. And I think what we haven't discovered yet, but we are getting on the way there, is really biomarker testing, which is something that has really changed the management of non-small cell lung cancer, where we have 10 biomarker-driven treatments for patients. In mesothelioma, we don't have a treatment, but there are cases where you have MTAP loss and other epigenetic changes in mesothelioma that may be able to be targeted with some of the agents that are coming up of, in kind of a tumor agnostic way. So even if we don't see a lot of mesothelioma, when you do encounter a patient and you want to have all the options, especially younger patients, I think doing NGS testing is critical. And we also know about a familial syndrome of BAP1 loss that may also trigger mesothelioma. So there are genetics of mesothelioma are kind of going to be part of the future of treatment of mesothelioma. We're not there yet, but we have to collect more data.
Wow. Well, I certainly dream of the day where we can use CAR therapies as well as broad-based NGS testing to help us most efficiently treat our patients with mesothelioma for sure. Awesome. Dr. Rodriguez, before we conclude today, is there anything else you'd like to highlight related to the treatment or care of mesothelioma?
So I think, you know, what we learn and our group at the university has done work on this space in understanding access to care and how it impacts survival in mesothelioma. So we published together an analysis of the NCDB database looking at patients that have had stage 1 to 3 mesothelioma, which are potentially patients that could have surgery, and trying to understand which patients did better and what impacted their survival. So what we've learned is that if you're African-American, you're twice as likely to do worse because for many reasons, but partly that you don't have access to treatment. And that for those patients that were able to travel farther, meaning travel to specialty centers with expert surgeons and multidisciplinary teams, those patients also had an advantage in terms of survival. So I think even in rare diseases like mesothelioma, access makes the biggest difference in terms of hopefully getting patients to a curative intent treatment, because there are still patients who do survive mesothelioma with appropriate treatment. I think the confusing part is that you have to have a lot of patient selection. We recently learned from the MARS data that compare chemotherapy versus surgery, that patients, if you take all comers and you look at survival, especially in the UK system in England, which with this, most of these patients were treated, you don't see a big difference. And what we and our experts have shown is that patient selection and timely referral to surgeons may matter. So we don't think surgery is not an option. We just think that proper access for surgery at the appropriate time may have an impact. But we have to, you know, have patients have access and have patients be seen by multidisciplinary teams.
Yeah, I think this just adds to the case that social determinants of health are critical in treating patients with cancer, and it's up to us to help advocate to expand access in efficacious and equitable ways. And I'm glad we at least saw that there are some potential avenues towards doing so for patients with mesothelioma in that project.
I will also add that globally, mesothelioma is bigger than the United States, and there's still a lot of countries that don't have asbestos bans in terms of exposure to risk factors of mesothelioma. So we still need to advocate for risk prevention and laws that prohibit use of asbestos exposure.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, a lot of the international organizations who deal with lung cancer are advocating for such bans, and we hope to see those go through. Excellent, Dr. Rodriguez. Thank you so much for joining us on this very special Leap Day edition of the OncData Advisor Fellows Forum. We'll see you all next time. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.